Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear.
Fourth corner of the program begins right now. We give you the things you need to know. Coming up, we'll preview the NBA playoffs. Jack Maloney, national NBA writer for CBS Sports, will join us here in the program. Petros, Siebold, Gervetta with you. Time now for our need to know. It's brought to you by our good friends at All Weather Decks, allweatherdecks.net. And relax, you can go right now. Get started on an estimate right there at allweatherdecks.net. 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. I'll bet you they've helped one of your neighbors. Check it out online. You can see the map link where they've done jobs all over the metro. Just about 6 or 7 weeks away from getting your project started, call 913-206-1974. Decks, patios, screened-in porches, pergolas, all-season rooms, outdoor kitchens, you name it, they build it and build it better than anybody else. Beautiful weather is here. Take advantage of it with a great outdoor living space from All Weather Decks. They're online at allweatherdecks.net. Let's start with this. Jason Kelce lost his Super Bowl ring. Did you see this?
I did, and I can't get my head around it. It's just...
From their New Heights podcast, held the Great Lumbaby Games at the University of Cincinnati. Competition between athletes and academics involved a game wherein competitors dove into pools of Skyline Chili, which is basically a better use for Skyline Chili than consuming it.
Thank you.
They weren't the only ones taking a dip in the chili. Kelce said he lost his ring in one of the pools, and now it's gone forever. Quote, I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. We have still yet to find it. All of this stuff has now been thrown away, so I think we can safely assume that my Super Bowl ring is now in a landfill someplace in the Cincinnati tri-state area. I didn't think that would happen.
God. Jason, you're like the responsible one. You know, what did you're not the one that's supposed to happen to.
He said he's already started the process of getting a new ring, but whether the insurance company is going to pay for it. Quote, we've already put the insurance claim in, which the insurance company might have some things to say about whether they're going to cover that. I would think so.
Be pretty high profile if they didn't.
Lost your ring.
Did you see the quote from Travis Kelce?
No.
I'll just clean it up. It just says, you're such a blanking and effing imbecile. Dude.
That's fantastic. You know, like, what are you thinking?
Jeez.
Lost it in a giant vat of chili.
Like, that's almost like a Mad Libs. Lost it in food type. Vat of chili. Yeah, that works. Toss it in there.
Some more NFL news. Report has the Denver Broncos looking at moving up to get a quarterback. And there's even a report, in fact, Cody Benjamin, who you hear regularly on this show, we bring him on from time to time, said that the Broncos could be willing to trade star players, including all-pro cornerback Patrick Surtain, to get up and get one of the quarterbacks. They pick at number 12.
They don't have enough draft capital otherwise to make that move, or they don't want to depart with that many picks because
For one, they're digging out of the cap problems with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And so if you're like, we haven't bottomed out yet, we're gonna bottom out, let's just completely purge everything. Cortland Sutton's name's been mentioned as well. Jerry Jeudy was already traded.
That's a rough spot.
So go unload every piece of talent you've got to go around a quarterback and then the quarterback.
And then try to rebuild around that quarterback. I'm sure whatever quarterback that is that they were going to go up and get is going to love that.
Forgive me if I don't shake at the thought of Sean Payton with the Broncos right now. Like, what are they doing?
If that happens, they'll just keep kicking. Eventually, he will have been there 7 years and will have not made the postseason. And everyone's going, yeah, but it's Sean Payton, man. He's coming for you, Patrick.
There's a report out there that Bill Belichick was sabotaged in his effort to get a job in the NFL, certainly by the owner of the Patriots, Bob Kraft, with the Falcons. Bob Kraft is said to have called Arthur Blank and said he's untrustworthy. Bill Belichick is untrustworthy.
Yes. Yeah, they had two sources. One was a Belichick guy, one was a Kraft guy, and they both agreed that that happened. The Belichick guy says that's one of the that was played a quote big part of why the Falcons didn't hire him.
He said to have finished outside the top three. I know some folks down around the Falcons, and they told me that Arthur Blank wanted a positive coach, an upbeat coach. Well, that ain't Belichick.
No.
So, I mean, listen, that's the report, is that Bob Kraft sabotaged him, but it could be as simple as Arthur Blank had a vision for where he wanted the team to go, yeah. And it's not Bill Belichick's style. But there are more reports. Kind of like every team on why they didn't go there. Jerry Jones is change-averse, decided quickly he's going to stay with McCarthy. The Raiders didn't go for Belichick because they just fired a Belichick disciple in Josh McDaniels. The Chargers, Belichick was supposedly not interested in going to L.A. Maybe beggars not be choosers?
Yeah, right. You're unemployed right now, Captain.
I think I think the Chargers wound up with a better option.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
David Tepper, didn't see him and Bill Belichick being a fit, you think? You think?
Gosh. What would make you think that?
Magic Johnson, who's one of the minority owners of the Commanders, supposedly was strong on hiring Bill Belichick. But the majority owner, Josh Harris, wants to set it up the way he set up the Sixers and Devils, and that's with a strong general manager and a coach that answers to that GM. Which, here again, billionaire disease, right? Well, because I know my business, which he's had some success, I guess, with the Sixers. I mean, no championships.
No,
as the owner of either one of those teams.
They haven't made, I can't speak for the Devils, but they have not made an Eastern Conference Finals in Philly.
No, he has not done that with the Devils either. And those sports are very different in the sense that the GMs are the more important piece and coaches get turned over all the time. But in football, I think we would all agree the GM's very important. Right, but the head coach is the more important piece.
Yeah. Well, and look, Andy Reid has a ton to do with it because he's a great coach. But part of the turnaround of the Chiefs included Clark Hunt changing up that exact structure
and having the general manager and the coach report to him. Right, and then when there was a problem between the general manager and the coach, which by the way, he hired Andy Reid, then he hired John Dorsey, and when there was a problem, the general manager got fired. And Andy Reid got to handpick his replacement, someone he felt he could work with, and they're still here and they've won three championships. If you were going to emulate somebody, wouldn't you emulate the Chiefs?
Yes.
How could this is the thing.
Model franchise of professional sports right
when
now.
When you get it right with the quarterback and coach like the Chiefs have, teams are dumbasses. They will do dumb things. They will make it easier for you to stay on top. Yep. And do things like this. Oh, no, we're going to set up because this is how it works in the NBA. Has it really worked? Even with the Sixers. Again, NBA, they turn over the coaches a lot faster. But has that even really worked?
No.
Have you actually gotten it right yet?
The closest they've gotten to getting past the second round of the playoffs was that insane shot by Kawhi not going in. And they still would have needed overtime.
But it did go in.
And that's what I'm saying. That's the closest they've gotten was still a loss.
Yeah.
Their best win was a heartbreaker in the second round.
Hey,
their best season.
Magic, listen. Yeah, you won championships with the Lakers as a player. Yeah, you won championships with the Lakers as an executive. Yeah, you've won championships as an owner with the Dodgers. But I don't know if you know this. I own the Philadelphia 76ers. I have the blueprint for success. It's right here. We're going to do it my way.
It's hard to make the playoffs six consecutive years and not get past the second round in any of
with an MVP caliber player.
Yes.
But they have done it.
It's amazing. Two different coaches tried, and now a new one's trying.
The Titans supposedly passed on him because they questioned his ability to build a culture at this stage of his career. Okay.
The Titans went out and got a defensive coach, right?
They hired Brian Callahan.
Oh, that's right.
The Bengals OC.
That's right.
So
I know like three. We've talked about the move toward the offensive coaches. That's why I think of the eight that were hired this year, three of them were defensive coaches. Now one was a retention, right? Jared Mayo. But I think the two others were hired. I'm like, they still not people still not get it.
No,
they don't. Thank you. It's just three more teams you don't have to worry about.
I do subscribe a little bit to a lot of really good offensive coaches were hired up in the last cycle.
It could be.
And so there's like, well, who's actually really ready?
Mm-hmm.
I subscribe to that. But I think all the teams that hired offensive coaches, let's just track them. Who does better?
Right.
The offensive coaches or the defensive coaches? I'll bet the offensive coaches do. Some more NBA news. Raptors, Jontay Porter has been banned from the league for life after the investigation revealed he had disclosed confidential information to bettors, limited his participation in at least one game while he was with the Raptors, and bet on NBA games while playing in the G League. He's out.
Yeah. And some particulars, says here, the NBA's investigation revealed he bet on at least 13 times on NBA games through a friend's account. He bet $54,000 on NBA games and won about $22,000. He did not bet on games he played, but did bet on the Raptors to lose. They also realized he disclosed confidential information about his health to a bettor before the March 20th game. Another bettor placed $80,000 bet on Porter to win $1.1 million, wagering he would underperform. The bet was frozen and not paid, but that's a no-no.
And it's too bad for Jontay Porter, but let me tell you the moral of this story is legalized sports betting caught the irregularities.
Yes.
Right? And that's why you do it. And even back in the day when it was only legal in Vegas, they're the ones who caught the Arizona State point fixing. Mm-hmm. So you will get a cleaner game by having legalized sports betting. Because when something's like, whoa, that's way too much money on a bet. It gets red flagged. It gets checked into. They immediately start looking at it. It lets you know if something's up.
Yeah.
So you get a cleaner game because we have legalized sports betting. Pelicans forward Zion Williamson, who was brilliant last night but left injured. He's been ruled out of Friday's elimination game against the Kings. He left with a hamstring strain. Pelicans said an MRI today confirmed the injury and he'll be reevaluated in approximately 2 weeks. He got in better shape all year. He was, 40 points last night?
Mm-hmm.
He was playing great. He can't stay healthy. He cannot stay healthy. At some point, if somebody will give you 80 cents on the dollar, I'd take it and move on. A big part of your ability is your availability, and he's not available enough. Tonight, Heat at Sixers. Sixers 5.5-point favorites. That game gets started at 6 o'clock on ESPN. Hawks at Bulls in a game that virtually no one cares about. The Bulls are 3.5-point favorites. That one, if you're up for it, starts at 8:30 also on ESPN. College news, the NCAA is adapting a new rule that will allow athletes who meet academic requirements unlimited transfers and will be granted immediate eligibility under the new rule system. Help me out here. Isn't that already the rule without the academics? What's the new rule? I just got this from the headline, so I don't really know. But right now, can't everybody transfer whenever they want and play right away? What the hell's new about this? Or is this what they want to make it? You can do it, but now we're going to restrict you. If you're not academically performing, then you can't do it.
I thought there was some scuttlebutt about transferring a second time. I thought that was the
guys idea. Transfer all the time. Look at the Final Four.
Oh,
guys
yeah.
Have played for like three schools.
But I thought that was one rule where if you transferred a second time, that maybe that has to, I don't know. But again, clearly with the issues Final Four, as you just pointed out, there were ways around that.
But yeah, I think they're wanting to put new rules in. Right now, anybody can transfer whenever they want and play whenever they want. That's how it's set up right now. Mizzou picked up its third commitment of this year's transfer cycle with the addition of Northern Kentucky guard Marcus Warwick. He was first team all Horizon, averaged nearly 20 points per game last season. Dennis Gates has been very productive in the transfer portal this year. NBA play-in games tonight, NBA playoffs in earnest, getting going, next week? So we'll have the play-in final games on Friday. And then we'll get the playoffs going early next week. In fact, I think we get them going this weekend with the seeds that are already, Saturday, with the seeds that are already there. We'll break it all down. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs with Jack Maloney. He handles the national beat for CBS Sports. He joins us next.
Are we back? That wasn't on the air, was it? We're talking about you making no effort. That wasn't on the air, was it?
Well, they're used to that by now.
Okay.
Doesn't matter if you say it or not.
It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Curtis Siebold, Adam Dravetta, Jackie the intern, as we make our way through the 5 o'clock hour, finishing strong. You know, that's what we do, people. It's how we like to roll. NBA play-in tournament going on right now. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs as a whole. Here to preview it with us is our man from CBS Sports, national basketball writer Jack Maloney is with us here in the program. He's proudly brought to my friends at the University of Kansas Health System. Did you know that you can be seen by the same experts that care for the Royals, for the Chiefs, for the Kansas City Current? That's right. And ladies, guess what? The University of Kansas Health System also has the special care for you. They understand that there are unique challenges that female athletes face. That's why they created the region's only female athlete program, helping student athletes and adult weekend warriors reach their full potential. Find out right now more details at kansashealthsystem.com/female athlete. We welcome Jack to the program. Jack, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Very good. We appreciate the time. And let me ask you a question. Can you and I save a lot of each other's time and just say Celtics, Nuggets in the finals? And the rest is all just window dressing, barring some kind of major injury to those two teams? Or do you think it's more open than I do?
No, I would agree with you. Yeah, when I'm in my picks.
Thanks, Jack. It's good talking to you. We'll hopefully catch up. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead. But it does feel that way, and unfortunately, I think that's what we're going to see. Go ahead. Why are they so dominant?
Well, I mean, you look at the Nuggets, obviously, are, you know, defending champions and basically brought back their entire team. They have the best player in the league, in my opinion, in Jokic. And then the Celtics, you know, this season's best team. They have probably the best starting five, and so you look at it that way, I don't see anyone beating them in their half of the playoffs.
Am I confusing it, and is it so far when you look at the Celtics, what, 14, 15 games clear of everybody in the East? Am I giving too much credit to the Nuggets? Is it really just wake me when the Celtics have their parade, because not only are they going to storm through the East, they're going to freight train the Nuggets. The Nuggets, I guess you could say they look like, you know, kind of their second go-round, you know, some of the Jordan Bulls, some of the Warriors. We don't have to be the one seed. Let's just get to the playoffs. That's going to judge us. I'm sure that's the narrative that's being spun in Denver. But the Celtics have been ridiculously dominant this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Celtics regular season is, you look at their net rating, and I apologize, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's, you know, up there with like the four or five best teams of all time. And I think another benefit for the Celtics is you look at the Eastern Conference and, you know, Giannis has some injury stuff going on. Joel Embiid has some injury stuff going on. The Knicks obviously are banged up. So, you know, the way the bracket is set up, the Celtics should have an easier path to the finals than the Nuggets, who, you know, they're going to have to go through the Lakers in round one, maybe the Timberwolves in round two, and then the Thunder in round three. All three of those teams could be better than anyone the Celtics played, depending on, you know, how the matchups are.
And tell me, why wasn't there a bigger deal made? I mean, we've seen the Celtics be very good and look like they were one of the contenders before. They were right there. They were as good as anybody in the East. And then they go out and get Kristaps Porzingis. And this, in my opinion, this trade was grossly underreported, right? Like, I mean, I know everybody talked about it, said, okay, yeah, he's been dealt from Washington, but, you know, to add a 20-point scorer that's 7'3", he's a modern big man in the sense that he can step out and shoot all the way from three, like, this isn't a shock if you believe that that was a really big deal. Why didn't – I understand he's battled injuries at times, and maybe that's a simple answer, and we can stop talking about he only played 57 games this year for the Celtics, and that's his thing. He never comes close to playing 80 games. But if you can get him healthy in the playoffs, like, he is a legit – you know, all-stars, starting all-star caliber player that they added, and it really didn't get that much run.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, the injuries are a big part of it. You know, people weren't sure if he could stay healthy. But then I think there's also, to some extent, maybe like fatigue is the right word, I guess. Maybe with the Celtics, you know, they've done this in so many years in the past, and then kind of falling short, you know, in the finals or the Eastern Conference finals. And I think maybe some people are at a point where, okay, it's great what you did in the regular season, but, you know, kind of just got to show us in the finals now.
Yeah, that's fine. I spent, you know, the entire time leading up to training camps, or maybe we were already on the brink of training camps. The only thing anybody wanted to talk about was Damian Lillard and how that suddenly was going to launch the Bucks. I mean, that got all the hype. Why do you think, other than Giannis being hurt at times, but why do you think the results weren't better for that trade?
Yeah, I think you look at, you know, the Adrian Griffin hiring, who they brought in as, you know, first-year head coach. That obviously didn't work out. They fired him mid-season, and then they bring in Doc Rivers. So, you know, you're trying to incorporate a new superstar and a new coach at the start of the season, and then you kind of get halfway through doing that. Then another new coach comes in. He changes the offense around for a second time in a few months. Like, there's just been so much change and so much adjustments for, you know, for Dame, for Giannis, for all the role players. And then, frankly, like, Lillard just hasn't been, I think, maybe the guy the Bucks thought they were getting. He's been really good, an all-star level player, but I don't think he's consistently been, you know, Damian Lillard that everyone thinks of as, you know, one of the best guards in the league.
Go ahead. I apologize for interrupting you. Go ahead, Jack.
No, yeah, I just, you know, I'm based in Milwaukee, and I cover these games all the time, and he has his moments still. You know, he had the buzzer beater versus the Kings, and he's had some amazing games. Overall, a good season, but just there's been more inconsistency than I think everyone sort of expected.
Let's be clear, they don't suck, right? The Bucks, you know, they are still 49-33. They are still third in the East. But what I don't get is, why didn't more people? My question, Curtis, you can remember with us talking about this, is Giannis is used to playing with the ball in his hands. Dame Lillard is used to playing with the ball in his hands, right? Like, that is, it doesn't always work perfectly like LeBron and Dwayne Wade. Right? And even that had its ups and downs and moments. And Dwayne Wade had to secede a lot of his stardom numbers to LeBron James when LeBron came on board. Dwayne Wade didn't keep averaging exactly what he was averaging. And that's what I said, you know, this is what we're going to have to find out. Can Damian Lillard handle not being the top dog? And can Giannis handle the ball being in Damian Lillard's hands a lot of the time? And I think Damian Lillard struggled with that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think for both guys, it's been an adjustment. And then you throw in the coaching stuff, and like, I think Doc Rivers is a much better coach than Adrian Griffin, but that's still a crazy adjustment that you have to make on the fly in the middle of the season. And you know, I think Doc's a better coach than Griffin, but he's maybe, you know, he has some of his own flaws too. And it's just I don't want to, you know, make too many excuses for some of the outside stuff, because I think, you know, Lillard especially is needed to play better at times. But I think it is just, you know, the injuries and the coaching change. I'm not sure Lillard just, like, personally is all that comfortable in Milwaukee. Like, it's just been such a weird combination of multiple factors that it's just all kind of, like you said, they're not terrible, but it's just all kind of combined to make it, you know, not quite what everyone was expecting.
Jack Maloney's national NBA writer for CBS Sports. Jack, do you buy that the Sixers are a threat if they can get through the play-in, that they maybe are the biggest challenge to the Celtics in the East?
I think it's possible. I mean, is Embiid's knee going to hold up? I don't know. Through three rounds that they'd have to, I guess, yeah, they'd have to win two rounds to get to the Celtics. You know, that's obviously always a concern, but I mean, Embiid is not a great matchup for, not a great matchup for anyone. You know, he is, like, when he was healthy this season, he was destroying the entire league, putting up, you know, 40, 50 points a night at times. And I think it's the age-old question of, can he stay healthy? But I think if they beat the Heat tonight, they have a Knicks team where they're banged up too. Then you beat the Knicks, and you're looking at a Pacers team that, you know, hasn't been on this stage, and a Bucks team that could be banged up as well. So, you know, I'm not sure that I would pick the Sixers, but if they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think I'd be super surprised.
They've won eight straight. I mean, like, that's the one thing. They're the unknown because we don't know really what they, you know, they were a team that was a work in progress, having traded, you know, made a trade, a big trade, right at the beginning of the regular season. So they were working on the fly. Tyrese Maxey finally got the ball in his hands, got to blossom as a player. They are kind of an unknown. I would like to see Joel Embiid do well because I think he's unfairly criticized for not having gone further in the playoffs because they just haven't been able to get the right combination of players. Like, I'm sorry, you're a center. He can't bring up the ball, you know, and just let it up. Guys have to be able to play around him. And I think, you know, for whatever reason, people love, maybe it's just because they love to rip on the big guy, but I think he's been unfairly criticized. Do you agree, or is there something to Joel Embiid can't take you to a title?
I think, yeah, I go back and forth at times because I do think the supporting cast around him is obviously, you know, you go back to even going back to Ben Simmons and you go to Harden last year. Like, he hasn't had the help that he's needed. But at the same time, I don't think that he's always performed to the level that he's needed to on the big stage. And some of that is injuries, obviously. So I think it's sort of a combination. But yeah, like you said, this season they bring in Nick Nurse, and they looked awesome. It really was a shame that he went down because I think this was probably their best, you know, their best chance to really make a deep run in the playoffs. And they still could. Like you said, they've won a lot of games in a row here. They got Embiid back. But yeah, his knee status obviously it's too hard to say. He did look good, you know, towards the end of the regular season, but, you know, playoff game after playoff game after playoff game, let's see how that holds up.
It doesn't help that they're playing the Heat, a team that is,
no.
You know, able to just apparently flip a switch and go. They went from the play-in all the way to the finals. You know, they have this ability. The good news is the Sixers get two shots at it by beating the seven. So if they can't beat the Heat, they'll probably beat the Bulls or Hawks, whoever comes out of that game. But, you know, listen, what is it about the Heat? Why are they so dismal in the regular season but so fantastic in the postseason?
Yeah, I wish I had the answer to that. But I think it's some of it is like they, you know, that's how they approach the regular season in a way. Not that they're trying to lose, but I think certainly you look at Jimmy Butler as, you know, the leader of that team, and he's kind of admitted that he doesn't start taking things super seriously until around this time. So I think, you know, that is part of it. But then, I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, Heat culture, and that could get maybe a little bit corny at times, but there's a lot of truth to it that they have, under Spoelstra, under Pat Riley, they have built a system that guys fit and buy into their roles, and come playoff time, they know exactly what they're supposed to do on the court at all times, and that's a big deal in the playoffs, that these guys aren't ever scared of the moment or the situation because they've just had it drilled into them that this is what I do and, you know, this is what I'm good at, and that's why they're able to succeed. You look at Caleb Martin coming out of nowhere last year, or guys like Gabe Vincent. Like, they just put these guys in the right position to succeed, and come playoff time, they're tough and they're well coached, and, you know, a lot of times those little things on the margins are what makes the difference.
When you were talking about Embiid, one thing that popped up in my mind that has been on my mind now for a couple of years, this modern NBA, players are not shy about trying to get themselves out of a situation into another one if they think it makes them better. Embiid has embraced Philly, but do you think it could get to where he's just sick of it and he wants to wind up somewhere where he's got a what he views as a better chance to win?
You know, that's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised. Like you said, it's such a common thing now for guys to eventually ask out, but you're definitely right that he seems to have a connection with Philadelphia that I think most stars don't. Like, you look at Giannis, you know, bring it back to the Bucks. As I'm here, I've covered, you know, Giannis all the time. He sort of has that connection with Milwaukee as well, and he hasn't asked out when he could have at times. So, yeah, I would probably lean towards against it happening in the near future, but at some point, it wouldn't totally surprise me. But you're right, yeah, I think he does have a unique connection to Philadelphia that some stars don't have to their city.
Yeah, and listen, I love that Giannis has stayed in Milwaukee. We're in a small town. We love the small. When Kevin Durant the first time re-upped with the Thunder, I was thrilled for that because I like to think that small market teams can compete in the NBA. So I'm certainly rooting for those guys to stay where they are. I know Philadelphia is not a small market, but I think there's something to be said for not running from the fight and staying where you are. The exact opposite, of course, is the Lakers, where everybody ran from the fight. Listen, you can't turn on SportsCenter. What I thought was amazing is only one person today on GetUp thought that the Warriors could still win the championship, which was, you know, amazing being that they were eliminated last night. But still, when the Warriors and Lakers dominate everything they say about the NBA, regardless of how piss poor their teams are, I guess, you know, old habits die hard. The Lakers are actually still alive. You give them any shot of actually making some noise this year?
You know, they have, it's the obvious answer, but, you know, they have LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's going to make it difficult. You know, they got swept last season by the Nuggets, but those games were pretty competitive. I think Jokic said at one point, you know, that was the toughest series that they faced the entire postseason. So I think you have to give them, you know, a little bit of respect and a little bit of a chance, but no, I think the Nuggets will take that series.
Yeah, I think they'll take it easy when it's all said and done. What about the young teams? I wish we could get more Timberwolves games. I wish we could get more Thunder games. I think they're exciting. I think they've both got superstars in Ant-Man and SGA. I think those are Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I don't know why they don't get more run. But I also, that being said, I barked about that all year. But I also know it. Sometimes you got to kind of learn how to win. It's awfully early in their playoff tenure. They're the one seed for Oklahoma City and the three seed for Minnesota. How much threat do you give the young teams?
I think definitely the Thunder are the biggest threat, are a bigger threat than the Wolves in terms of, you know, maybe getting to the finals or winning it all. Part of that is just, you know, their path. The Timberwolves would have to, you know, get through the Suns, who have really had their number, you know, lately here, and then the Nuggets in the second round. So, whereas, you know, the Thunder are probably going to get an easy matchup in the first round. Maybe, you know, a tougher matchup in the second round, obviously, but I think the path for the Thunder is a little bit easier. And then I just trust SGA more than I do anyone on the Timberwolves. And I really like Anthony Edwards, but just that's just how good SGA is, in my opinion, that, you know, it seems like end of game, anytime you need like a clutch pass, because he just, his ability to get into the lane, get fouled, like he just scores so easily in these clutch situations that, you know, that's a lot of times what the playoffs come down to. So I'd probably lean towards the Thunder having more of a threat to make a deeper run. But if the Timberwolves did, like, I, you know, again, like the parity in the league is at a point where, you know, I wouldn't be stunned. They have the size to match up with the Nuggets. They have some really incredible defensive players. I think it's possible, but I would definitely lean towards the Thunder as being more of a threat than the Timberwolves this season.
How good are the Nuggets? Do you think that they are? They did what I said, just cruise control through the regular season, ready to flip a switch, or are they in for a fight?
No, I definitely agree with that. I think, especially in the first half of the season, I think they were on cruise control. And then you saw after the All-Star break, I don't know how many, what sort of stretch, I forget exactly what stretch they ripped off, but there was like about a month where they like put the pedal down and it was like, oh yeah, this is why these guys rode to the championship last season. And I think, you know, when it comes down to it, that's, the Nuggets are my pick again. And I think their experience, Jokic and Murray's two-man game, Jokic's individual brilliance, like, I think at the end they're going to be too much for some of these younger teams, but I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it's going to be some fun series, but yeah, I think the Nuggets pretty comfortably in the end will show why, you know, they were the favorites coming into the season.
With the injury to Zion Williamson, if they don't advance and he could be out for a couple of weeks, it looks like, do they finally say enough and try to cash out on him?
No, I'm not sure. I think, like, you saw last night before he got hurt, and he was incredible, and I know how frustrating the injuries are. But you have that kind of talent. I don't think you can give up on him. But I do think there would be pretty big changes made. And there might be changes made even if they, you know, get through the play-in. But personally, in my opinion, no, I can't. I don't know, you know, what the team's thinking is. Personally, in my opinion, I'd keep Zion and try to maybe find a switch up the supporting cast a little bit. I don't know. I know the injury is like it gets sort of draining and you know, frustrating watching him go down all the time. But I think when you have a talent like that, you got to just keep trying and stick with it. Because if you give him up, you're looking at either a rebuild or like a much lower ceiling. So I'd stick with Zion and hope that he can stay healthy. But yeah, it's just it's disappointing and frustrating, I'm sure, for everyone in New Orleans.
Jack Maloney covers the NBA for CBS Sports. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get care from the experts the Royals trust. Make the right call right now. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/royals. Four quickies. Some of the first thing that comes to mind. Give me the best coach in the NBA right now. Not the guy with the best career record. Not, well, Greg Popovich, he's won this many titles. Who right now makes the biggest difference as the head coach of their team in the NBA?
I'd say Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, me too. He's an absolute rock star. He's amazing. All right, tell me, if you were going to buy a stock, if basketball teams were stocks, would you be buying Oklahoma City or Minnesota for the long haul?
Oklahoma City.
Yeah. Number 12 pick. After all their wheeling and dealing, they've got the number 12 pick in this year's draft to add to what they have. Who was the MVP this year in your mind?
Nikola Jokic.
Yeah. He's pretty good when it's all said and done. And the NBA Finals will be what? Who beats who?
Celtics over Nuggets.
Yeah, there it is. So we could have saved ourselves a lot of time, like we said when we started this whole thing. Jack, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. Hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you down the road.
Thanks.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
But first, the good sense, end of the hour answer. How many left-handed quarterbacks have started a Super Bowl?
Steve Young.
Yep.
Ken Stabler.
Yep.
Mike Vick never got there. I got to be missing somebody. I know that nobody had been left-handed forever recently, but I'll bet I'm missing somebody. I'm going to say three.
It is three. I'll give you the name of the man whose birthday is today. I'll give you his given name.
Okay.
Norman.
Boomer Esiason, that's
Boomer
right.
Boomer Esiason, 63 yeah. today.
Just three. So Michael Penix Jr.
Yep.
Am I the only one that just looks funny coming out of his hand? I said this on our 2D podcast last night with Chidi and Eager, and I was like,
That looks
is
a little
it just
wonky.
Me? It just, is it like... Like left-handed swings, oh, it's so pretty, right? Everyone thinks left-handed swings look great.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, put a mirror up to a TV and look at it, and it won't look so good. Well, I've never done that, yeah. But I get the theory.
Part of the left-handed and right-handed swing is the direction that they go after. Left-handed swing is a little more lyrical because you kick out that back foot and you're going right toward first base.
Finish the direction you're
going. Right-handed, you're going toward first base while you're swinging, and it changes the angle.
Right.
Quarterbacks, it looks. We watched Ken Stabler throw. We watched Steve Young throw. They didn't look like this.
Yeah, but Penix has some kind of.
There's a little.
There's
hit.
Just something, and I'm like, well, we did was spend the entire lead up to the draft talking about Tim Tebow's delivery.
Mm-hmm.
And no one said anything about Penix's. And like I said, I'm completely open to.
Right.
It's a figment of my imagination but I watch Tua. I have Tua on a dynasty team. I watch a lot of Tua during the year, and he's left-handed. There
he
just seems to be
odd.
There's some like little
Tua doesn't look strange when he throws.
Like
not to me.
Kind of like was it Corey Bradford who had kind of the little wrist flip or something? Somebody had one of those where they'd load on pitching.
Like,
Penix has
that?
Some kind of.
I'm with you.
I love what he did at Washington. He was nails. He outdueled Bo Nix twice. Mm-hmm. Powered that team through. Had great talent. Had three NFL wideouts. One, a guy that people think is going to be a superstar. But, It's interesting. Let's just hope that somebody loves him and Bo Nix and that they're there at 32. Yeah. And the Chiefs can trade down and get a haul.
Please.
That's my dream. What's your dream pick for the Chiefs? Trade down for a lot. That's my dream pick. There it is. Question asked. You didn't ask it, but I answered it anyway. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you for joining us today here in the program.